first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome everybody to Spouting Off. I have been having so much fun doing a lot of radio today, doing a guest shot and then filling in for Alan Nathan. But it is always a pleasure to be back on my own show, Spouting Off. For those of you joining us for the first time, we endeavored to give the term Spouting Off a little bit more of a positive spin because, you know, we're living in a kind of a spin-worthy time in which everybody is spinning something. And spouting off usually means running off at the mouth, not saying anything important. Our show is dedicated to the freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and not censoring yourself. There is a growing pressure in this country to not only shut up and sit down, but to validate certain positions that you yourself may or may not agree with, because the price for dissent, for disagreement, for questioning continues to rise in this country. I think it is the inflationary price of discussion, dissent, disagreement, and ultimately it started with the COVID, in which people said, this doesn't make any sense. Why are we shutting down an entire country because of virus that, granted, everybody, I'm not going to adjudicate that again. People were scared at the beginning, but as people begun to get a load of what was going on, an incredibly powerful government picking and choosing winners and losers, which is what tyrannical governments do. Real happy with Walmart when they put little stickers on the floor telling you where to walk, but not happy with 12-step groups in churches that stopped people, that offered support for alcoholics. But, you know, the liquor stores were essential. As soon as they saw that, they were told that if they didn't throw a rag on their face, they were killing grandma. And then thousands upon thousands of grandmas actually got killed in nursing homes by politicians sending COVID into nursing homes, the most vulnerable of populations. The cynical approach is, gee, did they do that because then they could show more deaths by COVID? And the constant fear-mongering. The reason I bring this up is because it was a watershed, terrifying moment in America in which all common sense, all right to disagree and dissent was thrown out of the window, and America was introduced to a new kind of government, the government of force. The government of do it our way or the highway, the government of a carrot or a stick. Either we're going to give you a carrot and give you a nice little ego boo and pat you on the head for doing as we're told and speaking as we wish you to speak, thinking as we wish you to think, or we're going to prosecute you and persecute you and maybe even frame you for something you didn't do, as in the case of one of the biggest mouths for liberty, Donald Trump. And it's become issues of personality over reason, logic, and equal justice. Such important principles that justice applied equally and fairly. That's gone out of the window too. That was when they emptied out the prisons, supposedly in the name of COVID, well, they imprisoned law-abiding citizens in their homes. The irony should not be lost. And frankly, it should not be forgotten ever, because this was a jump the shark moment. I've used that term before. Jump the shark. That was when the masks went on everyday citizens, and some still haven't taken them off. And the masks of what these politicians and unelected bureaucrats were up to have come off. Those masks are off now in ways we never, ever thought. Why? Because they don't care anymore that they've been exposed. They've corrupted enough of the country that people, their voices are being truly drowned out. That's why the very first principle of liberty is freedom of speech. If you remember, I've made this analogy before, if you remember the Iron Curtain and the commercials that were on Radio Free Europe, that the ways in people have said who lived in the communist Soviet Union, and it's a different place than it was then, but it doesn't mean that it has a constitution, people are free. But the left loved them when they were truly communist. Now they hate them, and they're possibly less communist. You know, especially if you listen to, if you stop listening to the media. That being said, let me go back to the Radio Free Europe. In that case, people were creating underground shortwave radio to find out what was really going on around the world as opposed to what they were being told. I heard a story recently that put a fine point on this, and that is that people who lived in the old Soviet Union, if they were not privy to any real information, which is kind of where we're at in this country quite a bit, although there are podcasts and there is private talk radio, they believed that America was living in grinding poverty. Can you believe it? In the 50s, in the 60s, when there was more prosperity than ever before, after World War II, when people came home from the war and had babies and bought houses, people behind the Iron Curtain believed that America was a poverty-stricken country, a dictatorship, a horrible hellhole to live in. How did they get that idea? Because their media, their Pravda, told them so. Now we have a Pravda of our own that calls anything that is not state-run media mis- and disinformation, right? So not only are they going to demean differences of opinion, they're going to shut them down as much as they possibly can. Really important point leading up to this. Tucker Carlson, who you know was shut down, summarily shut down, went on Twitter. This is now his new microphone. He's had millions upon millions of views, because it's video and audio on Twitter. It's just simply called Tucker on Twitter, right? You don't like his opinion? Don't watch it. But somebody, somewhere, and a whole bunch of people in Fox News do not want his voice to be heard. What do we need? A whole new Radio Free America to allow people like Tucker Carlson to express an opinion that people want to hear? The whole notion that ideas, disagreement, differences of opinion are not dangerous, but censorship is, that idea is going out of fashion today in the service of instituted a kind of communism and tyranny in this country that we have never seen since our founding. Children are being taught that ideas and differences of opinion and disagreement and debate is somehow dangerous. And I will use the same analogy again. Yet burning down Wendy's and taking over six blocks of a city is somehow free speech as long as you're part of the radical left. There's two justice systems in this country. One for people who espouse government views and another for people who disagree. So do we really need another Radio Free America in America? I remember those commercials when I was really small. And I even wrote an editorial on my website, which, shameless plug, Karen at KarenKataline.com. You can go there. You'd have to go into the archives because there's a picture of a barbed wire fence about Radio Free Europe. I remember those commercials so well. What goes on behind the Iron Curtain? It was a private American-funded anti-communist group, Radio Free Europe. What they meant was the Eastern Bloc Europe, not England or Scotland. What they meant was in the Eastern European satellite countries controlled by Russia, by the Soviet Union, they were getting information out to citizens so they could get a better perspective about what other people thought. I mean, don't we get second opinions with doctors? Actually, that's another area and sphere of influence that has been infiltrated by an ideology, by a wokeism that says, here's how to think about this. Here's what you get to do about this. And here's what you don't get to do about this. Whenever somebody tells you that a differing opinion is somehow dangerous, then you need to be suspicious of the opinion they're putting out. Think about cults for a minute. Cults are notorious for this. You take the cult, and I've been a studier of cults for a long time. They are ruled by fear. Some cults have an ideology so far-fetched and preposterous that they'll tell people, don't you dare go on the internet and read about us. Don't you dare go on the internet and read about our cult and the things people say about it, because they're all lies and it's dangerous for you to know this. Who tells you it's dangerous for you to know something, dangerous for you to disagree? The reason I brought this up, I just want to wrap this up because I have been touching on a lot of subjects here, and that is Tucker Carlson, the company Fox News is saying that he's in breach of contract because he did a Twitter commentary. They're obviously very threatened by him. They don't want him on their network, but they don't want him heard anywhere else. Don't buy it. That's my message. Karen Kataline, you're listening to Spouting Off, and Spouting Off is a good thing. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Kataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. And we have a perennial guest starting off our guest segments here, an old friend, but not that old, former state legislator of Colorado and proprietor of StopJoe.com, the committee to defeat the president. Ted Harvey joins us right now. Hey, Ted, how you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I know you're wonderful, but how are you doing?
But I'm pumped.
I was looking in your town hall articles. What has you jumping up and down right now? Because I know you wrote one about gun control, but I'll bet you've written one since then. So you tell me, what has been on your mind lately?
Well, as we speak, I'm writing an op-ed. We'll see who takes it up. But it's regarding James Comey and the former director of the FBI, and he's currently on tour. I call it the Grand Illusion Tour, where he's trying to sell his book and rewrite history and gaslight the American people. He was saying that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, and that anybody that supports him, and that the Republican Party essentially is now a cult. I think that he is forgetful that everybody out there knows how he tried to orchestrate a coup, literally a coup of the president of the United States, the duly elected president of the United States, who was installed through the democratic process, and he's trying to rewrite history. And that's what has me more frustrated today than anything else that's going on.
Hmm. And you don't get frustrated easily. I mean, you are one of the most, at least on the surface, my husband says, yeah, I'm like a duck. I'm calm on the surface, but I'm pedaling as fast as I can underneath.
I'm a lovable little fuzzball. You know that.
Yeah. And this is so maddening because there's a group of people putting forth an alternate universe based on omissions and commissions of information. And so you do a great service by pointing that out. I am seeing a lot of people that are trying to take Comey to task, even trying to get to him publicly, because he's putting out something that simply isn't true. What are you doing? You're writing this article. Give us a little sneak peek.
Well, I'm going through step by step what he did during the time that he was a part of the Obama administration and what he did as the FBI director under the Trump administration. He worked with Obama. He met with Obama. He met with Rice. And going between the election and the inauguration to come up with a plan on how to open up investigations as quickly as possible before Trump came into office, to go to the FISA court, lie to the FISA court, literally, I mean, there's we have court cases where people have admitted, FBI officials have admitted to lying to the FISA court before Trump was even inaugurated to start the investigations to be able to go after him. Comey was the one that leaked the information that he had talked to Trump about the now infamous dossier, and then the media was able to get that information and say, oh, this dossier must be legitimate because Comey is meeting with the president about that. But we also have declassified information that the head of the CIA, John Brennan, had met with Obama and Vice President Biden, telling them that the dossier was purely a Clinton campaign hoax to get the narrative away from the fact that she had 30,000 classified emails on her server, on a server in her house. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And they are trying to gaslight the American people and say that this didn't happen. And we have all of the documentation to show that it happened. And Comey's out there trying to tell everybody a totally different story. And I think we need to remind the American people about how corrupt the entire intelligence community was and how they tried to bring down a duly elected president of the United States. And I'd be pissed off if they tried to do that to a Democrat president. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, they work for the American people and the officials who we elect. They don't get to rule the world just because they have that cool little jacket, blue jacket that they're wearing around.
Yeah, yeah. Ted, you said you'd be pissed off, to use your word, and that's not one of the seven bad words, so we'll say it, if it happened to a Democrat president. Sadly, one of the things you're up against is the left wouldn't. They wouldn't be unhappy. The great majority, except for the people that have walked away, literally, like a Naomi Wolf or a few others, even Bill Maher is beginning to look like he has more principles than some of the people in Congress. Other than that, they wouldn't be unhappy if a president that they didn't like got railroaded, framed for something he didn't do. How do you deal with that reality that the playing field simply is not fair today?
We have to rise up and fight back as aggressively as possible. The media is covering all this up. And if you look back to when Watergate happened, it was the media that was going crazy and bringing all of this to light. The media should be the ones that are the gatekeepers of truth, but now they have outed, that's one thing Trump did, that Trump outed them as being nothing more than the propagandists for the radical left in our country. And we need to go around them, and we need to get the information out there, whether it's on Twitter or YouTube. I don't like YouTube. They cover us up. But whatever forums we can, radio, to be able to get our message out there and tell the American people exactly what is going on and how our government, especially the intelligence community, has been corrupted. And they are trying to control what you and I think and hear and say, and that's totally inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to make a Colorado reference because I'm a native of Colorado and you're still there. Everybody in Colorado is rooting for the Denver Nuggets in the finals. I have family members that are all jazzed about that. And so it's kind of a strange reference.
You have a guest on your show that's jazzed about that. How can you not be?
Are you jazzed about the Nuggets?
Of course I am. They crushed it last night.
Yeah. How about that? So we talked about offense. Now let's talk a little bit about defense in terms of politics. And that is really what you have to do. I mean, there are people who really understand that sports analogies are quite apt today. And in terms of defense, it seems that Donald Trump is being warned already that he's about to be indicted. we already know that they are doing everything, including throwing every candidate onto the scene just to water down his support, people that Republicans hate. And now they want to indict him to stop him from running from office. What are your thoughts about that, Mr. Ted Harvey?
Well, certainly that's why Chris Christie is running, is to bloody up Trump and do whatever he can to embarrass him. I think the Tim Scotts of the world, they know they're not going to win, that he's not going to say anything negative about Trump. I think he is probably getting paid by conservative donors to tell him to get out there and get his name out there and introduce himself to the grassroots voters of the Republican Party, because he has a very good chance of being the next vice president of the United States. I think that DeSantis and Mike Pence have FOMO, fear of missing out, because they are
okay.
thinking they have legitimate shots of being the president of the United States. Both of them do. And they're saying, I don't want to not be in the race if something happens to Trump, if he does get indicted, does get, you know, put behind bars and or gets hit by a bus. And then on their dying deathbed, look back and say, man, if I'd have just got into the race, I could have been president of the United States. So I think they have the fear of missing out. So they're just getting their name out there just in case. And I think that everybody else that is in the, I don't know, the 300 other dwarves are just, you know, want to be able to tell their grandkids that they ran for president of the United States. And that's the only reason why they're in the race, because they know that they have no chance of beating Donald Trump.
What about the left that's propping these people up from the back end? And isn't it curious, is it a compound question, isn't it curious the left never has primaries anymore? In fact, they don't even have debates with someone, a credible, a Kennedy, no less. They've already said, oh, no, we're not going to have any debates. They don't have primaries, but they want as many people in the Republican race as possible, even people who are detested. Even Liz Cheney is thinking about getting in the race, along with people that no Republican grassrootser likes in any way, shape, or form. Nikki Haley, well, are you kidding me? Go ahead.
Well, Liz Cheney's not going to get in the Republican Party race. She can get just as much TV and radio out there beating up Donald Trump and not have to go through all of the junk of being a candidate for president of the United States. And that's the only reason that she gets any airtime, is because she's saying negative
Absolutely.
Things about Donald Trump.
Yes.
But I would take issue with you. I think that the Democrat Party will have debates. I think that the Democrat Party will have a very vigorous primary election, because in most some of the polling that's coming out right now, Joe Biden is under 35%. If he gets under 33, under 30, you are going to see the Democrat Party have a scramble like we've never seen before, because right now, you're right, the DNC and all of the superdelegates and everything are rallying around Joe Biden, saying he's our candidate. But when it becomes very obvious to everybody that he has cratered and he has no chance of beating Donald Trump, you're going to see Democrat candidates come out of the woodwork out of FOMO, fear of missing out, to put their name in the hopper to try to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. And I think you're going to see the moneyed people in the Democrat Party say, we have to throw Biden overboard and we have to get a new candidate. And I've been saying that for years. Joe Biden at some point is going to pull an LBJ and say, I will not seek, nor will I accept the nomination of the Democrat Party.
Or, Ted Harvey, and that's what we have so much fun, because we don't think exactly alike. Or they are planning all of this.
Yeah.
I don't know or believe that. Well, that's not true. If they can get Joe Biden a second term without having to do anything, my God, he didn't do anything to run. He was in his basement through the whole election. If they can still get him another term, the old-fashioned way by lying, cheating, and stealing, they might do it because then they can blame the horrendous things they're doing on Joe Biden. But if they've decided to get rid of him, they'll get rid of him in a heartbeat. He'll go and he'll say anything they want. He can't even quite read the teleprompter, but they are planning. They don't leave things to chance. They don't play by the rules anymore. Do you disagree with at least that part?
Well, I think I thought where you were going to go is that they are keeping him in the race right now as so that he takes all of the shots and arrows, and he is a decoy. And then when the time is right, they bring in somebody else that mm-hmm. they already have propped up, who doesn't have to take the scrutiny for a year, year and a half, and
yes.
come in as the knight on the white horse and save the Democrat Party and save the country. They may be manipulating it that way as well.
They are nothing if not playing the long game. We watched
yep.
it in Colorado many moons ago when Republicans were playing catch-up. Democrats were changing election rules in Colorado so that Republicans could never win. They play the long game.
And Republican primaries.
What's that?
To make sure that also they got involved in Republican primaries
yes.
to make sure that the weakest Republican came out of the primary.
Yeah. And by the time you get evidence on any of the things that they are doing, including what they're doing right now, it is a ho-hum moment, right? When
yep.
when people finally report the fact that they were playing in the primaries, that Facebook, what's his name, guy was giving millions upon millions of Zuckerbucks to people. By then, that's why Rush Limbaugh was so brilliant. He aptly called it the drive-by media. It only
yep.
drive-by after 2 years. When nobody cares. And then just to be sure, they come up with an organization called MoveOn.org to tell you you're not supposed to care about this anymore.
Or they send James Comey out there with a new book that completely
yes.
rewrites history and says, we didn't do any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's
the media
stunning.
Eats it up.
If it weren't so sad, we'd be laughing. Maybe we got to laugh more, I'll tell you that. Ted Harvey, tell everybody how they can find you, follow you, and give money if they wish.
Well, I hope they do. I think if they haven't noticed, we are the most aggressive anti-Biden PAC in the United States. We're the largest anti-Biden PAC in the United States. We are going after them as hard as we possibly can, whether it's the administration or the House or the Senate. If you want to give us money, want to know more about us, go to stopjoe.com and follow us also.
Thank you,
Twitter,
Ted Harvey. We got to run.
Joe.
Take care.
All right. God
love
bless.
You. Bye.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at KarenCataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline, and it's so good to have you along with us. We appreciate it. Here, we love to have on Thursdays our special segment with a reporter from the Epoch Times. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, a free press and free speech is utterly and completely essential to a free country. And specialist in the Supreme Court, Matthew Vadim, works for the Epoch Times. And full disclosure, they are, as you know, an advertiser of ours. We promote them where possible, and they are kind enough and generous enough to supply us with a reporter once a week to talk about what they are writing about. Matthew Vadim, thank you so much for joining us here once again on Spouting Off.
Happy to be here.
Always a pleasure. Well, breaking news as we go to airtime, which is now, John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh shock the nation. That's what I'm seeing on my newsfeed. Join with liberals to reject the Alabama GOP congressional map. Could you comment on that before we go to this other issue that you've been writing about regarding Donald Trump?
Sure. Was the Supreme Court... in a narrow, 5-4 ruling, written by Chief Justice John Roberts and joined by conservative Justice Brett Kavanaugh and the three left-wing justices, the three liberals, struck down the redistricting map in Alabama, reasoning that it discriminated against black voters. And therefore, violated the Federal Voting Rights Act.
And how did it do that?
Which forbids states from racially gerrymandering districts.
Hmm. So how did this do that?
And there was a strong dissent written by the conservatives on the court who rejected the reasoning of the majority, and that was Clarence Thomas, and he said that... the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act doesn't put these sorts of restrictions on state legislatures, and that he would have thrown the case out.
Yeah, and the left doesn't care that Clarence Thomas happens to be black. It's not racist to go after a justice ideologically just because he happens to be black. If he's not a liberal, they don't care what you do to them. Explain, though, what the majority of the court said as to why or how this was somehow a violation of the Voting Rights Act.
All right. Well, they found that it was that this was an example of vote dilution, that the electoral districts had been drawn in such a way as to prevent blacks from getting who they want elected. That's a good way of just summarizing it.
Hmm.
And this law is very strange. So.
Has a case like this ever
been adopted when dealing with these things?
Has a case like this?
Ethnic groups are entitled, if there's a lot of them in a particular place, that they're basically entitled to get who they want in office, and then
based on numbers,
bend and twist things to make sure that that can happen.
Well, we've watched Democrats do that in gerrymandered districts all over this country, but a case has never been brought in the reverse, has it?
What do you mean has never been brought in the reverse?
Well, there hasn't been...
That Democrats had unfairly drawn districts?
Yes, exactly.
Well, they,
in order to dilute Republican votes.
In many times, actually.
My point exactly.
They don't always win, though.
Yes, because it seems that the majority are the ones that usually are making the rules and drawing the districts. We saw this in Colorado again and again and again, that the districts were drawn by Democrat attorneys and legislators to make sure that they diluted the votes of their opposition. But somehow Republicans never think to take those cases to court, do they?
Well, yeah, Republicans tend to think that if you win an election, then you're entitled to the fruits of victory. And that means, you know, that the legislature gets to draw the electoral map, you know, for the congressional seats, for the U.S. House of Representatives seats, and that nobody should interfere with the power of the legislature to do that. Democrats and liberals and left-wingers, on the other hand, are more goal-oriented and just want to win by whatever means possible.
By any means necessary.
Right.
It's funny that they accuse their opponents of the same thing, of course, of what they do.
Well, that's an old communist tactic. Not saying all the Democrats are communists, but some of them.
But a lot of them are.
Could be considered that.
And so what do you make of the fact that two supposedly conservative judges, two who have already caused concern, voted with their very liberal colleagues on this issue? You have any commentary type thoughts on the issue?
I suspect it was a case of John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh not wanting to rock the boat, not wanting to politicize the court, in their view, by, you know, siding with Republicans, perhaps. You know,
and
since
that
they
seems
were appointed
to...
by Republicans.
That seems to be the excuse, Matthew, that they always give, why John Roberts, for example, one of the most notorious votes ever on Obamacare, was first at once, it was a tax, and then when they wanted it to be upheld, it wasn't a tax, or the other way around. That,
right.
You know,
and
I just don't...
He initially was
going
to strike it down, but then he changed his mind, and they hastily did a sloppy rewrite of the Obamacare decision, the NFIB versus Sebelius case, and... it appeared to have been sloppily redrafted and, you know, to make Obamacare into a tax, which is, you know, an absurd holding, but it remains undisturbed because that's what the court did, because John Roberts didn't want to rock the boat.
Well, and he gave the excuse. He gave the excuse that He was concerned about the reputation of the court, never mind the fact that that's part of what destroyed, what harmed the reputation of the court, is that they played politics. And now,
well, that's an argument I would make, yes.
And now the left is smearing the court every day when they don't get the decision that they want.
That's about right.
Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, that's why it is so important that you are there reporting on these issues. That's one that just came down. So we wanted to talk about it. And they always seem to need cover. Oh, we're worried about our reputation, so we're going to do something that would sully our reputation. And use that
right,
as
well,
an excuse.
Well, you know, I get the impression from years of covering the Supreme Court that often the justices go into something having already decided what they want to do, and then they just, you know, it's all just an ex post facto rationalization
where
they
self-justification.
They come together and figure out how to justify what they've already decided to do.
Yeah, which is a mark of a banana republic, really. And not holding to the values of equal justice under the law. That said, you wrote an article, Supreme Court to decide if insult against Trump can be trademarked. Tell us about this wonderful headache now.
That is a pretty wacky case. Somebody, some progressive activist somewhere wants to put out T-shirts that draw upon Marco Rubio's joke during the 2016 campaign, presidential primary campaign, where he mocked Trump for having supposedly small hands. He said, you know, Trump is like 6'2", but look at his hands. He's got the hands of a man who's 5'2". Ha, 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 ha. And you know what that means, you know, insinuating, you know, a joke about the size of his manhood.
Got
it. And, and so he wanted to use this Trump too small phrase on T-shirts. And so it's ended up in the Supreme Court, where they're actually going to spend valuable court time arguing about this in the fall.
Well, why is it a crime to do that? I mean, the average conservative is going to look at that and go, I don't agree with it, but why should I? Is someone trying to prevent him from creating these T-shirts? Not creating, trademarking the T-shirt. Did we lose you? I think we lost you. Matthew, are you there? I think we've lost our guest, Matthew, because I still think I'm on the air, but somehow we've lost Matthew. I don't know why.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Well, do try to get him back just to answer that question, but we have about 5 or 6 minutes left of the show, so I'm going to continue what I do best, which is to vamp and go back to my subject matter here. It would be good to get him back just so we could get the answer to that question, because I didn't understand, you know. Matthew Vadim is perfect for, you know, clarifying that sort of thing. But in the absence of having Matthew back here, I wanted to point out, actually, this is where I was going at the opening of the show with the various woke corporations, this is part of it, is controlling and manipulating what people see and hear based on wokeism. Well, now we've got Budweiser, Target, North Face, and Disney. Disney not just engaging in commerce, but engaging in politics. We don't have too much time to get into this, but I wanted to bring to your attention an article that actually it's more of a video. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink. Here's what he said. Most people have said volumes about Larry Fink of BlackRock as going off the reservation and pushing ideologies on people rather than being in the financial markets and in what he's supposed to be doing, which is they deal in real estate, among other things. And he is the king of ESG and wokeism. That's what this article says. And here, if you believe this, and I do, he said, was interviewed and said, you have to force behaviors. That's what Larry Fink said. You have to force behaviors. This coming from a guy who not only has benefited from the free market in this country that made it possible for him to prevail and make millions, but taking a direct opposition to one of the most fundamental principles on which America was founded, is that you don't get to appoint yourself God in other people's universe. You don't get to force behaviors on people using your wealth and, shall I dare say, privilege in order to get people to think and behave as you wish. Let's see. What do you call that in average plain-spoken terms? It's called tyrannical behavior. Here, Larry Fink is admitting that he's a tyrant. It's not just that he wants people to behave a certain way. He's going to force people to behave in a certain way. Is it any wonder that ESG is being used merely as a cover to get people to manipulate people into thinking and behaving the way they want? With the classic carrot and the stick. If you've ever studied mobsters, mob behaviors, you know, we're gonna protect you. Well, what do I need protection from? Well, from us, because if you don't do as we say, you're gonna need protection. I mean, this is the way that language is twisted in order to make bad guys look like good guys look like bad guys, and twist and confuse the public so that they can be manipulated and controlled. Well, I am sorry that we didn't get to have Matthew Vadim answer that question. He sort of disappeared summarily. Arbitrarily, I guess. But do look at the Epoch Times and look up Matthew Vadim. That's V-A-D-U-M Vadim, Matthew. He is the beat reporter for the Supreme Court, and he watches them carefully. Well, that does it for this edition of Spouting Off. Tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, when there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.